back the phony show. I guess you can't best us, rest of the fantasy community. Go ahead and book the L when they lose to me. It's nothing new to me, I'm just the dude you see. Biggest difference is I listen regularly, yeah. I will not lose 14 my dudes.
We are back. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy 40 Podcast. Myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker. Andrew Burke, we think, has been swallowed up by the riots in the Pacific Northwest as he pivots between Seattle and Portland. No man makes that out alive. We don't know if we'll see him again, but it is currently redraft season. Camps are in session, so we're going to start looking at some redraft ADP, some camp news. Walk's going to kind of take the reins here and walk me through some of the camp stuff because I've been out of the loop a little bit. But before we get into that, how are you, Walk? Anything happening in the fantasy football landscape?
Are they still rioting in the Great Northwest? Is that,
yes,
really,
yes,
a thing? I mean, are they not letting people in Starbucks still? I mean, what's going on? No,
they're burned down, so they're...
Oh, they're all burned down. Okay. Well, yes. Their coffee's shit anyway and burnt.
The worst.
So it's probably not a great loss. Maybe they can make their way over to the East Coast and polish off a few around my neighborhood. So
I will take a cup of Folgers over a cup of Starbucks any day of the week.
10 out of 10. Yep. I don't like burnt, disgusting coffee. Apparently, most people do and want to overpay for it. So apparently we are in the minority. But
horrendously overpay.
Yes. Yes. Egregiously. I'm going to go with egregiously overpay for a cup of steaming water with crushed beans. Yeah,
we're the same age, so I'm sure you will remember this too, but I vividly recall when I was a kid, coffee costing 10 cents a cup.
And well, it still should. I mean, it should be free with every like combo meal. It should be like you should be able to get change from a dollar still for a cup of coffee today. It hasn't grown more sophisticated in its production. You know, they're just coming out with new and different ways to say what it is. Size, awesome names for sizes and types of coffee. No, just give me coffee. Give me a cup of coffee in the morning and eat my caffeine. Let's move on. So, yeah, hopefully Andrew is doing all right. He is in Seattle actually working. Apparently John and I aren't right now, so we will be discussing fantasy football before we both go back to work. But, I'm doing good. We're less than 30 days from week one. I just saw that the Chiefs are going to be allowed to have 22% capacity for their home opener on September 10th. So I forget what that number was. Off the time I had, I think it was like 17,000 and change game tickets that they can sell. It's going to be very interesting to see how this goes and what comes of this season and everything else behind it. But we've discussed all of that ad nauseum, so we're not going to go down the COVID cliff anymore. People will test positive. Players will miss games. It will affect your fantasy and dynasty teams. All reality, but we don't know who those people are right now, so we're not going to play the guessing game. What we did decide to do today is, with that season barreling down upon us, is go more redraft focused. So we're going to start with some kind of topical camp things that John, who has been totally out of the loop, as he has been running back and forth between Phoenix, Arizona, and Las Vegas, Nevada for the better part of the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to give him the skinny on everything that's going down and get him caught up and get his opinion. And then we're just going to dive into Fantasy Pros ADP and some guys that we believe are values. John, I probably should have discussed this beforehand. I went with half PPR as a midpoint between the standard and PPR community to reference where my guys are being drafted. I don't know where you did, but I also based a lot of my analysis off of that, so you're going to have to adjust.
Okay? This is why we are an outstanding, underrated podcast. Without discussing it, we're on the exact same page.
Boom. That's what I like to hear. Okay, so we'll get into that soon, and that's great because we have to start adjusting everything as we're discussing it. So we're just going to go top to bottom here. And the first piece of information and a player that will be talked about later on in this episode is that Miles Sanders sustained a lower body injury and he is listed as week to week, but will quote, be ready for week one. I believe this is much ado about nothing. This is like, okay, we know you're awesome. We already said you're getting all the work. We don't need to get you hurt before week one when all we're doing is running like simulated plays and the like. So go get your body right. You took a couple. Yeah, you knocked off the rust, but go over there and rest up for the season some, because you're going to touch the ball 25 times in week one. Do you believe any different?
I mean, as long as they're not getting carted off, that's always, you know, the big red flag. Week to week, to me, sounds like a high ankle sprain. But, you know, like you said, if they're anticipating him being the main guy in a heavy workload right out the box, they can, as long as he's in shape, you know what I mean? I don't know what some
of shape of his life, John, but then which player isn't at this point in time?
Well, the guys who fail their fucking first physical, that's who. But if he, you know, the little bit they saw of him in practice is if he is what they expect him to be, then he'll be, you know, fine week one. Like you just said, they're just going to, okay, rest up. We don't want to get you banged up in camp and see you week one. So week to week's a little concerning instead of the day to day label, but I'm not sweating it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of, let's see what this Michael Warren guy can do, who, by the way, I was very high on pre-draft out of Cincinnati, came as a UDFA to the Eagles, and you're in a deep dynasty league. Michael Warren should be on every one of your rosters. Check your waiver wire if he is indeed out there, because I think he's going to make the team. But I thought very much the same, high, low ankle sprain, something insignificant. I mean, high ankle sprain is obviously far worse. Let's go with like a low-grade ankle sprain where it's just like, okay, enough is enough. We're not going to play this game right now. We need all hands on deck in, you know, 3 weeks. So go rest up, young man. Then there is two Buffalo Bills related comments. And the first is your favorite target, Josh Allen, quote, staring down his receivers. Bills quarterback Josh Allen struggled during Tuesday's practice, often staring down his receivers and having multiple passes broken up or intercepted. Scale 1 to 10, how shocked are you?
Zero.
that's the correct and only acceptable answer here, because there was a previous report where I'm trying to comb through and see it, which just a day earlier was that Cole Beasley stated that Josh Allen is, quote, starting to throw guys open a little bit this summer. Starting to throw guys open a little bit this summer. You hear every word in that? His receiver stated he's starting to and a little bit this summer. That's the progression of Josh Allen. Anyone who thinks this dude is ever going to be a competent thrower of the football is out of their effing mind. But wait, let's get the John DeBarry take on that.
Nothing. It's less than zero. The other one was zero on the surprise scale. This is less than zero. Like, I mean, it is who he is. We knew this coming in. He's a super low completion rate guy. He's got a fucking cannon. That guy can fire lasers. He's just not accurate. I mean, it is who he is. It's always been who he is. So, you know, for fantasy, he's fine because he does get those rushing yards, and he'll continue to be fine as long as he's a starter for fantasy. But boy, is he not a good NFL quarterback.
No. What's the statement? He could throw it over a stadium, but he couldn't hit the stadium with the football if he had to.
Believe it.
As long as those legs keep him moving, there's value to be had with Josh Allen. But I thought you would just appreciate that one. The next one is my boy, literally no one else's. I'm not going to accept anyone else claiming 1% of Zach Moss. And it's that the Bills will have a dangerous 1-2 punch at running back. And Zach Moss has flashed as a physical runner and could add a missing element to the team's rushing game. You know how much I love Zach Moss and how I think he landed in a plum spot in Buffalo. Does this get you excited at all about Zach Moss?
I think him and Singletary will vulture a little bit of value off each other. You know, I was super high on Singletary coming in. I liked what I saw from him last year. I was able to trade out a few places where I had him, and I kind of regretted it at the time, and then they drafted Moss, and now I feel a lot better about it. I just think they're going to be a 1A and 1B. I don't know if either one of them will ever get the workhorse volume that you need to be a big-time fantasy stud, but, I mean, I think they'll both be usable week in and week out.
Well, we will talk about Zach Moss as well when we get into the ADP portion, but let's just sprinkle a little bit of dust on that, and I think that Zach Moss has more touches than Devlin Singletary this year. But one man's opinion. Moving on. No, don't say anything more. The Texans could use David and Duke Johnson together. Texans running back coach Danny Barrett said having David Johnson and Duke Johnson on the field at the same time could make it harder for defenses to disguise their schemes. That's about the most obvious statement I've ever heard from a running backs coach that I've never heard of. But how does that make you feel that both of them could be on the field at the same time, thus further limiting David Johnson's upside in this offense? But go.
It's wishbone season, I guess, right? I don't know. It's coach speak. This time of year is always wonky. Maybe they're trying to build up some value to trade Duke or something. But
no, they better not trade Duke.
If they're
he's going to lock heavy snaps at some point in this season. In this,
you may be correct.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I like David Johnson, but I, you know, did I expect him to be a volume monster? No.
He has to be. I mean, one, he needs it to return even running back two value, in my opinion. And two, that's what Bill O'Brien does. I mean, he just force-fed Carlos Hyde the ball over Duke Johnson last year. And I'll even still admit that David Johnson greater than signed Carlos Hyde at this point in his career. So he should be in line for a heavy workload. But
I mean, that's just the usual coach speak. And then, you know, this year without – the preseason games to throw some bullshit tape out there to get the, you know, your week one opponent on their heels. This is what we'll probably see more of.
Yeah. I felt like this was like a, anything to get Randall Cobb off the field type of tweet. You know, 'cause if they're both on, there's no way they're going three wide. And if they're two wide or less, we do not have to see Randall Cobb just
correct
roam the field, absorbing 8 yard dump downs that Deshaun Watson is not going to throw to him. 'Cause that's not how Deshaun Watson plays football. So, all right, next, the Washington football team are adding more pre-snap motion and reverses per OC Scott Turner. And yes, this is your obligatory Antonio Gibson update for the week. Thoughts?
Pre-snap motion and what?
Reverses.
Yeah. Well, look, here. I mean, their backfield, as much as we love Gibson, is – kind of unproven. You know, he's unproven at the NFL. Peterson's what, 34, 35 now? Bryce Love, who I actually like, but same thing. That guy hasn't played football in a couple of years and had a significant injury. Their wide receiving core is trashola after McLaurin. I mean, I like Sims, but there's nobody there who's demanding coverage. They're going to need to disguise stuff and do a lot of trickery to generate some offense. So it's not – it's not surprising, and Gibson does seem to be the guy that would benefit the most from a little bit of trickery.
Yep. Again, our guy, Antonio Gibson. Hear so many other podcasts talk about him. I'm like, oh, I just want to do Twitter searches just to prove that we were on him before anyone else. And I know for a fact I even brought him up to you, and you got immediately on board with him. So I can even claim a slight edge in the Antonio Gibson fantasy 40 bias. Nothing. Once I popped on that kid's tape, it was like, okay, I'm fully erect. This guy's awesome, and he's gonna thrive wherever. Even shitty Washington football team is not going to kill this kid's hype.
It would be funny to do some Twitter searches. I if I'm not mistaken, go and roll back the hands of time, I believe I'm the second Kenny Golladay tweet ever.
and yeah, you run them up to me, and I easily copped to that one. The Northern Illinois product. Once I saw the tape, I was immediately in love.
We got to look now. That's our homework assignment until we record again.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest layup of all time is I'm relatively confident that I started the Chris Godwin hype train last year while I was getting slammed and calling his stat lines out to people and being – told I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about on Twitter, but yeah,
maybe
if we don't do anything wrong, it's easy to talk about the stuff we get right. I mean, there's a little hate that biases us, like how we talked about Melvin Gordon negatively for so long. And he's been a good running back. He's just not our type of running back. That's the only places where we can't separate our biases from quality analysis, and I'm totally okay with that because it led us to Austin Eckler, and anyone that has Austin Eckler is happy today because it's Austin Eckler greater than Melvin Gordon. So even our biases lead us to fantasy gold most of the time. But yeah, I'm just in a place right now where it's, we deserve better. I'm going to just really start hammering on Twitter, just to be totally honest with you. I'm going down a deep, dark path, and I don't see any end in sight. You know, I put a tweet out that was intended to rattle some cages this morning, and we'll see what comes of it. But yeah, we'll discuss that one later. There's another update here that you will be particularly interested in. Edits. Jared Goff compared second-round rookie wide receiver Van Jefferson to Cooper Kupp. He's been really impressive and has done a good job. It reminds me a lot of when Kupp was a rookie. He was just so far ahead of where a rookie kind of should be. Correct me if I'm wrong before you go slobbering all over Jefferson. Weren't Goff and Kupp drafted the same year? Did I miss that? Was Goff a year earlier? I'm like, hold on. What's he talking about when he was a rookie?
No, because, because the year Goff was the first overall pick, and it wasn't – didn't Kupp squeak into the tail end of a first round? I don't think they had two firsts.
No, Kupp wasn't a first round pick.
But he was – I misspoke. He was getting talked up. Remember, people were like, this kid from Eastern Washington might be a first round pick.
I don't know why I thought they were in the same draft, where I was like, hold on, what's he talking about when he came in as rookie? You were a fucking rookie too. I might be wrong, but at best, Goff was 1 year seasoned vet in the NFL off of a total shitbag season. So a little bit presumptuous of Goff to start comping players at this point in time. But I digress. Go ahead. Talk glowingly about Van Jefferson.
Yeah, as much as I've been out of the loop with player news, I have been seeing the Van Jefferson blurbs. McVay came out and said a bunch of nice things about him, about what an amazing route runner he is and how great he's looked in camp. And my thing with him, and we've said it here before when we were talking about rookies, I don't know what he's going to do this year. He's obviously competing with Reynolds for the number three spot. Woods and Kupp are ahead of him, but both their contracts are – running up in the next year or two, and Jefferson's cheaper, and he's kind of going to be able to fit into especially the Kupp role. So it's funny that they're comping him to Kupp, because they're in salary cap hell. Kupp could find himself on another team, and Jefferson falls in that role. I mean, I've talked about him tons. I love him. I'm not surprised by any of the news, and I like these Senior Bowl guys who are great route runners, and that's what he does. So I still think PPR, sky's the limit.
Yeah, I know you love him. I'm not nearly as high on him. I've already moved him in one of the leagues that I own him and feel as though I might have sold high. But putting second-round capital, including, like you said, where Cooper Kupp is from a contract standpoint, yeah, I don't see a world where, unless he accepts a quote-unquote hometown discount, that he is a Los Angeles Ram a year from now. So they're prepping for the future. It's Van Jefferson or bust, apparently. So kudos to you again for falling in love with another Senior Bowl guy. It's giving me Terry McLaurin douche chills all over again. It's a guy I was not nearly as high on that. It's probably going to bite me in the ass. But I don't hate him. I just don't like him nearly as much as you do. There's so much to talk about, but we have to get through this so we can get into the episode. So there's two more. I just wanted to touch on one because I think one will be particularly interesting, your response to it as a Chicagoan, and it's that Bears coach Matt Nagy declined to say if Mitchell Trubisky became a better player during the offseason. Wouldn't even go as far as to say he became a better player during the offseason. He refused to give him any sort of compliment going forward.
What are you gonna say? There's nothing to say. It's laughable. He didn't say nothing. What can you say? The lack of endorsement speaks volumes. Did he even get better in the offseason? You're like, no comment. Which no comment means bad news. So no, he probably regressed. And don't forget, they traded up to get him. Well,
Mahomes and Watson. Sat on the board. Fran and Ryan Pace still has a job.
That's a beautiful thing.
Most befuddling thing of all is that singular misstep alone should get 100% of people fired from their occupation. That egregious of a miscalculation. You should not be allowed to make decisions, especially for multi-million-dollar corporations. But hey, kudos to Ryan Pace figuring it out. All right, last one, and this is just Fantasy 40 related, and it's the Herald Bulletin reports that Paris Campbell is, quote, starting to resemble the star that the Indianapolis Colts believe they drafted in the second round of 2019. Point of reference, I traded Andrew Burke, Kerryon Johnson, and a third-round pick for Paris Campbell and a second-round pick in Infinity Wars just a week or so ago. And you want to talk about someone getting taken to the woodshed. Good old Coach Burke 82 got backdoored on that one for an easy layoff.
Yeah, I mean, we liked him coming out, and last year was kind of a lost year between being banged up and then, you know, their weird quarterback situation. So, you know, it's kind of, you kind of are banking on his rookie year being this year, and he takes the kind of step forward, but we see a lot of players take in year two. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know necessarily what the depth chart with T.Y. Hilton, and they drafted Pittman early this year, and who knows how it shakes out, but I think he's been playing out of the slot, correct?
He's going to be in their slot guy. I mean, I think Hilton will probably go in there a little bit, but Pittman is exclusively on the outside, in my opinion. So putting Campbell in the slot with Phillip Rivers when they don't really have any intermediate weapon of note. I mean, Jack Doyle, he's not threatening anyone. I love Mo Alley Cox, but, you know, is he really, you know, that type of tight end for them? I think Paris Campbell is going to, assuming health, shock a lot of people this year.
I mean, the upside's there. No, we'll not deny that.
And on a side note, Kerryon Johnson is still wearing a knee brace in practice. Yep. So, unfortunate, but Kerryon Johnson was never intended to be a bell cow back. He was an average replacement level running back, which I nailed square on the fucking nose right when that draft came out, that he is an average at everything back. That shouldn't have even had 2 years of a sample size to try and become the bell cow with Detroit. They should have fixed that last year, but they fixed it this year with DeAndre Swift, and that dude is a rocket ship. Even with Matt Patricia trying to probably stunt his growth as effectively as he possibly can, Swift is going to be an absolute monster. But all that aside, there's so much more, John. There's Big Ben short arm and passes. There's Nick Chubb in the concussion protocol. There's, you know, so much stuff. It's exciting just to have all these blurbs. I mean, just to see these useless reps in camp where, like, you're just seeing a dude running out route and it's, look at LaVisca Chenault toe tapping this out route. I'm like, they're playing catch. There wasn't even a defender on that play, but I'm excited. But there's so much, you know, somehow Robert Tonyan could start or have a chance to start as the tight end in Green Bay. I know you say it doesn't matter, but stop disrespecting Jay Sternberger like that. Robert Tonyan isn't anything.
No Mercedes Lewis.
Very correct. Yeah, you know, Justin Jackson is splitting first-team reps with Eckler, veteran deference. I still believe Joshua Kelly is going to be the guy. What else? That's it. We're going to avoid everything Darius Geis at the present because none of that would be football-related, but there's a little piece about him as well in a recent blur. But what we're doing today, and John, you referenced our sync, our mind meld with how we operate at this point in time. We talk about nothing pre-show. We don't have show sheets. We don't have plans. We usually come up with these concepts the day before we actually record. But it's just because of how good we are. Not only do we sound like a buttoned-up podcast, but we are on the same page. So we're using Fantasy Pros half-point PPR ADP, which is pulled from Yahoo and Fantrax specifically, to touch on some players that – and I just went with full. These guys deserve better. I didn't shit on anyone. You probably did, if I know you at all, of how dare this guy be this high. I went with just straight value plays, all guys that I thought deserved way better than their current ADP, and then did some builds out of that. So – without further ado, and I don't believe that there's really a need to discuss quarterback. If you're in a super flex or two QB league, you understand the value of quarterback. If you're in a single quarterback league, please just wait to the end of your draft to take like two quarterbacks or stream the position. Like, do not reach, even for the Mahomes or the Lamar Jacksons of the world, in my humble opinion. It's just not It's not how you build the best team possible. Let someone else do that, and you go and grab yourself, you know, a Carson Wentz in the 12th round or a Daniel Jones or Christ, Gardner Minshew at the end of the draft. And
you know, it's funny. I use some highlighter on my sheet here. So green are guys I like. Pink are guys I don't like. You can't see this listening at home, but I just pinked out everyone 1 through 13 because I don't touch quarterback until everyone's got a starter except me and people start dipping into backups.
And so, I know I said we wouldn't go into this, but did I see Joe Burrow highlighted on that piece of paper?
Certainly was. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Okay, I'm the other way. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a quarterback one this year. But that's probably a podcast for a different time because I said we're not going to get into quarterbacks. So, yes, we both say just blot out the world on the early rounds. Do not draft a quarterback until you're in the double digits. It's just not – find an early season schedule. You know, like we just shit all over Josh Allen. He has like one of the sweetest opening schedules for a quarterback like in the history of mankind. So if he doesn't go early, you know, take him and enjoy your day. But there's just so many value quarterbacks to get anymore that you do not need to tie yourself to a top two or three guy. But we'll start at the sexiest position in the NFL, at least in my opinion, because I love these guys. Can't stop talking about them. It is the running back position where there is a definitive have and have nots. We are seeing the resurgence of the bell cow RB strategy or zero wide receiver, whatever you want to assess
robust.
It as.
Robust RB.
Okay, yes. The new hotness, the robust RB. And I agree with it wholeheartedly because I just participated in our buddy Halal's Battle Zero Championship, and I gladly went with the zero wide receiver side of the house so that I could just load up on running backs. And I was still very pleased with the build I had. And save for about one player of like a higher caliber receiver, you might not even know that my team was a zero wide receiver draft. It's just that's how many good players there are available wide receiver. And conversely, you look at these zero running back teams, go fucking luck. Because you got to start two running backs and two wide receivers on top of flex. And some of these guys, their starting running back is literally like Tony Pollard. He's a running back one where, barring a Zeke injury, that dude isn't sniffing a top 24 finish as much as we love him. So, you know, I'll be trotting out the likes of Brandon Cooks and Golden Tate and Brandon Ayuk and going to give me just solid production as long as they're on the field. Along with the likes of like Saquon Barkley and, you know, Austin Eckler in my running back position. So I'm going to win that league. I already said I'm winning Singleton's draft. I am crushing. Put me in a contest. Tell me what the rules are 1 minute beforehand. And I am just slaughtering competition. I'm just on so many tangents right now. But we're supposed to be talking running backs here. And so I'm going to let you lead out of the gate with the running back you wanted to speak about first. And then we can just kind of volley it back and forth a la, you know, a tennis match, John, so to speak.
So are we doing – we're going guys we like first here?
I did not reference anyone I don't. I don't reference anyone that I do not like, John. I can find them. I can easily find them. But, yeah, let's start a little positive because there's a couple guys I really want to speak. I'll probably just double down on everyone you hate because we have similar sensibilities.
So somebody I like, we'll just go kind of ADP-wise, running back 18 off the board, 37th overall. Leonard Fournette, I know he's got his warts. I know there's concerns with this offense. I know people don't think he's going to retain that passing work volume, which I agree with. But he's due for positive touchdown regression. All those touches last year, got in the end zone three times. To me, he's just fallen way too far. I don't get it. I do get the concerns. Even that should bump him down to like running back 12-ish. So I just think he's being discounted way too much. I still think he's RB 18. He will absolutely finish higher than that as long as he plays football.
All right, listen, we'll just not the first guy I wrote about, but definitely a guy I wrote about. And you know I've been kind of the fade Uncle Lenny part of this podcast lately, because anyone that believes he's going to see 100 targets again is literally out of their fucking mind. But at RB 17 and 37th pick overall, I just wrote the hate has officially gone too far, and that Uncle Lenny has arguably the unsexiest running back depth chart nipping at his heels. Of course, yeah. He'll lose targets to Thompson and Shenault in the passing game, but he'll easily exceed 250 rushing attempts, assuming health. And that equals better than RB18 in a half-point PPR. So I'm 100% in lockstep with you. If you get Leonard Fournette as your RB2, you're winning already. It's a bonus to you. But I started off a little higher in the rankings, and it was the aforementioned lower body injured Miles Sanders. And I didn't believe my eyes when I looked at this, okay? Because he is currently running back 13 at 22nd overall. So he is being taken as a running back 2. And I just wrote, does Doug Peterson need to hand out promise rings to drafters to get his ADP where it belongs? Like, what more needs to happen for people to come to Jesus on Miles Sanders and the fact that he is the bell cow back in one of the best offenses in the entire NFL, and he is going to finish inside the top 8 at the position?
I don't think people are fading Miles Sanders. I think they're fading Peterson and his history. I think when you said the promise ring is people want to see him get used. If he gets used this year, like you and other people think, he's going to be a top 6 pick next year. But, you know, this is the price of caution baked into it. I don't disagree with you on the upside, but Peterson's usage scares the shit out of me. So I don't, you know, there's a few guys ahead of him I don't like and a few guys I like. I bump him up a little, but not a ton because Peterson scares me, not him.
The fantasy playoffs last year, weeks 14 through 16, Miles Sanders averaged 23 touches for 132 yards and a touchdown. And that equated to 21.7 PPR points per game in half point leagues. He already showed us, Doug Peterson already showed us last year that he would give him the volume. Miles Sanders showed us what he could do with the volume. Deuce Staley and Doug Peterson both came out this year and said, this is your year. You're getting all the fucking work you can handle. Get ready. Now they're just letting him rest for 3 weeks before the season. This quote-unquote lower body injury, it's all there. People are missing the boat. Don't wait until he shows you again to buy up. This dude should be in the top half of the first round of running backs. I mean, anywhere between 6 and 8, he should go, in my opinion. And I'll rattle off the litany of guys that I'll take before him. But it's just – it's egregious to me. But I hope it maintains itself so I can have him as my RB2 in every single redraft league that I'm in, because I'll go find me some Miles Sanders. I want picks at the end of the first round in every redraft league I'm in so that I can take Mixon and then get Miles Sanders on the way back. And then I will just blindly draft the rest of my team for the entirety of that evening, and I'll win that league.
If you pick 12th overall, you can come out of that first round with the first and second at the turn. You could come out Chubb Sanders and then come back and get Fournette as your RB3. And if you wanted to pound running back still and go with your first 4, get like Jonathan Taylor as your top 4 and then just hammer wide receiver for the next 7 rounds if you didn't take one at 4.
Yeah, that I want end of round draft pick. Draft,
yeah, that's a monster.
Every single league, redraft league that I'm in. It's just Miles Sanders deserves better.
All right. I'm going further down the list now with my next guy, Tariq Cohen, running back 42, 110th overall. 2-3 years ago, he finished as a RB1 in PPR. So this is
half PPR.
Well, but I'm saying he has an RB1 finish under his belt in his career. So to me, it's just too far low. I mean, yes, he does get a little ding for half point opposed to full point PPR. But he's always been a part of this offense since he's been there. They're going to use him, even if David Montgomery has the ceiling that some people seem to think he does. Cohen's not going anywhere. He's still a part of the passing game. He's still a part of this offense. To me, it's just too – there's no way he finishes lower than 36, and I feel like I'm really pushing that. He is definitely an RB2. So to be drafted in 42 as an RB4 just is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I mean, and if Nick Foles ends up being the starter, he's going to throw the ball to Tariq Cohen. I mean, we can't trust Trubisky to do anything. if indeed he ends up on center. If it is Nick Foles, brighter days are ahead for Tariq Cohen. I'm there with you. I didn't go that low on my next guy. I will get work my way down there. But I wanted to speak about Le'Veon Bell. And he's currently going as RB 21 at 45th overall. He was RB 18 in just 15 games last year in this format. And I wrote, and you think the Jets are capable of being any worse than last year? I don't. As much as we shit on them and hate Gase, they are a better team this year than they were last year. Bell came out himself and said he wasn't committed. That dude took a year off getting fat in South Beach, you know, and he looks like he's fully bought in for this year, because I think it's the last year of his guaranteed money too. So I think he realizes he's going to be looking for another contract again next year. So I'm buying Le'Veon Bell. And as your RB2 at pick 45, so we're talking the end of the fourth round of drafts. I said, if you're picking from the four spot, which is where that about slots in, you could start a draft with Alvin Kamara and Le'Veon Bell as your running backs with whoever the F you want in rounds two and three. You want to go more running backs? You want to go and pound some high-end wide receivers? You tell me I got a Kamara Bell start even in a half PPR? And that's my first and fourth round picks? That might be where I'm okay with drafted out of the four hole.
The funny thing is, I mean, not intentionally jumping ahead, but I'll come back to it at wide receiver a little bit. I mean, this is a guy who we're not too far removed from him being the number one overall pick. You know what I mean? He took a year off. The Jets suck. Nobody wants a piece of that. So I get the falling down a little bit. But yeah, a perennial 101 going down to 21 at the position is a little – a little much.
The haste is going too far, and people really believe that Frank Gore is just, I mean, he's going to touch the ball more than anyone wants to, but the Le'Veon Bell is still slotted for 300 touches, I believe, you know, carries and catches at the end of the day, assuming health. And if he does that, he's going to be tickling that low end running back one total, and you can get him at the end of the fourth round. A bridge too far, in my opinion.
So I kept going deep here. May go a little out of order, but Chase Edmonds, running back 54, 187th overall. Kenny Drake looked good when he was with the Cardinals. The upside is there, but I don't love him, and I don't know if he stays healthy for the full 16. Edmonds had some insane stretch towards the end of the year. I think one game he got like mid-20s, something touches. So he's been effective when they use him. To me, it just seems like he's totally off of people's radars. I mean, even as just a handcuff, he's way too low. So Chase Edmonds, 187, give me that.
Chase Edmonds had a phantom spot start last year where he, I believe, kicked the dick out of the New York Giants to the tune of like 150 yards and three touchdowns. I'm actually bringing it up as we speak. I was slightly over. He kicked the dick out of him for 126 yards and three touchdowns in week seven with another four catches for 24 yards. And David Johnson was active that game. I think he was out on the field for the first snap and then literally didn't touch the field again. So I would be interested to go back and see what Chase Edmonds' start percentage was that week, because I had him in a bunch of spots, and I can tell you I didn't start him that week. But then I started him the next week, and I'm pretty sure he got hurt that week. So that's the
Then he got banged up.
That's the full Chase Edmonds experience there. But he did have a shining moment, so I'm there with you, and I'm not fully bought in on Drake. I was a little higher than 54 with my next guy, and it is Zach Moss at running back 50, 146 overall. Just talked about how much I love Zach Moss. I kind of teased it a little bit, saying he's going to get more carries than or more touches than Devin Singletary this year. And I just wrote, I need to remind you that the immortal Frank Gore saw 179 touches in this Bills offense last year. Okay. From now on, I'm just going to refer to Zach Moss as free money if he's going to be hanging around the RB 50 spot, because I will have Zach Moss on every single team as my running back five. And he will make starts for me, whether it be in my flex or covering bye weeks, confidently, as he's going to see 10 to 15 touches a game, in my opinion, in this offense. And they're going to want to run the ball. And hopefully Josh Allen doesn't try and poach as many short yardage rushing touchdowns now that they have a player of Zach Moss's ilk who can be just a goal line, just vulture for this team with, you know, pass catching upside.
There's a ton of guys I like. Like you're saying, you'll get Zach Moss all the time at this spot. This whole pack this like running back 46 through, we'll say 65. I like a ton of guys in here. Duke Johnson, Tony Pollard, Boston Scott, even Adrian Peterson is, you know, a late round guy to give you a safe floor on like a bye week. Zach Moss, Gibson's there, but he's obviously going to rock it up. Nyheim Hines, and this not LeSean McCoy. No, thank you. I just mentioned Chase Edmonds. I don't mind throwing the dart on Justin Jackson or A.J. Dillon. Jamal Williams, no thank you. But the other guy I'll talk about who's next here, Malcolm Brown. I think this is a bad year for rookies and free agents and people adjusting to new schemes and systems. I love Cam Akers, and I think Cam Akers is going to be an amazing NFL football player. I think all the rookies are going to have a hard time adjusting this season with this shortened offseason and, they're going to a 16-game season with this weird offseason, trying to get into the NFL mindset and routine and all that stuff. Malcolm Brown, I think Darrell Henderson might just suck, which is sad. However, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Brown get a ton of looks, especially early in the year when they bring Akers around. I threw a dart on him and drafting with Giants is one of my last picks. Is, you know, in best ball, couple weeks, you don't think he could score two touchdowns on four carries, some you know, just bullshit red zone work. I think he's super low given what the upside can be if Henderson falls flat and Akers takes a little while to come along. He's been okay in mop-up duty when he was replacing Todd Gurley for a little bit there.
I know you continue to stand for Malcolm Brown. I happen to see a picture of Cam Akers on Twitter today coming straight at me with a smoke visor on, and the world just stopped for a minute. I mean, it was just me and Cam Akers and nothing else. And I think that's what it's going to be like this year. Darrell just said Malcolm Brown is old and irrelevant. Cam Akers is going to get all he can get. That low, it's hard to argue against his value because it's so low. I just, short of being in a best ball and praying for that two touchdown game, they drafted Cam Akers for a reason, and it's because they knew they missed on Darrell Henderson, and they do value their running back in their scheme. So off season, the COVID off season aside, I can't quite get there with you, but I'm not going to argue against a guy that's down
ninth round.
Whatever pick you're at running back 62. I don't think I'll be drafting anyone that's down that far, except maybe Damon Harris, who's 71, because it sounds like he might be the guy in New England. But enough of the positivity. I'm just going to rattle off a couple guys that I think are right too high, and then you can extrapolate as you put a little more effort in this to me. Melvin Gordon, running back 16. No, thank you. Already said that he's having trouble in the Denver air, which is strange because he's played in Denver once a year for his entire career thus far. So he should have some understanding of what it's like there. Maybe not consistently, but he's also a late contract running back, and Philip Lindsay isn't a slouch. Although Philip Lindsay is limited, he's not a total bum. So Melvin Gordon above Le'Veon Bell, absolutely nowhere. No, thank you. Shouldn't happen. Mark Ingram at running back 22. I like Mark Ingram. I still think he's going to get work, but J.K. Dobbins is going to start to eat in that offense, whether they like it or not. So I'm not taking Mark Ingram at running back 22, one spot after Le'Veon Bell. Take Le'Veon Bell over him all day. Devin Singletary, 24. I don't think Devin Singletary is a running back 2. I just talked very glowingly about Zach Moss. I think best case scenario, Devin Singletary is a flex play. So I'm not taking him at 24. And then, although the story is great, Raheem Mostert at 25, so a borderline RB2. I know he just got his money. Good for him. Deserved it. Journeyman that made good in this offense. But they still tried to give Tevin Coleman the ball every chance they could late in the season. It was injuries that gave Raheem Mostert a start. Now you're entering a supposedly, God, I hope it stays the case, Jerick McKinnon into this offense as well. And you're just going to have to pray that Raheem Mostert scores a touchdown on the 10 carries that he's going to get every week, because they're not just going to give him 20 touches like they did in the playoffs. They had no other options. Tevin Coleman's going to see touches. McKinnon's going to see all the passing down work. You're going to get a sprinkling of Jeff Wilson, because that is what the Shanahan offense is predicated around. Raheem Mostert is not an RB2, people. weekly. He might give you a couple weeks where he gets the touchdown, like 60 and a touchdown on 10 carries, or 16, two touchdowns on 10 carries. Don't buy what happened in the playoffs. It was shitty Green Bay defense largely and situational.
So not surprisingly, I agree on Melvin Gordon. I also have Mostert highlighted here as a guy I'm avoiding. A couple guys, I'll go up a little higher up to some RB1s. Zeke Elliott, running back 3. Mike McCarthy coming in. We've talked about this a ton. We hate Mike McCarthy. We hate what he does to his lead running backs. Is Zeke still going to be an RB1? Yes. Is he going to be the RB3? I doubt it. I just think they limit his touches. You know, he's used to getting 300-something. I see that dropping by about 50 to 70, seeing him 230 to 250 range, which will ding him. He's obviously productive. He'll still be up there. But I just see Pollard eating into that workload because that's just – what kind of asshole Mike McCarthy is. And Derrick Henry, I'm just not trusting him coming off that workload. It's happened time and time again in the NFL. You give these guys this huge workload, and the next year they just don't come back the same. Granted, Henry is a monster, and if anyone is built to handle it, it is certainly him. But at that spot in the draft, I would rather take Mixon, Chubb, and Jacobs, who are going just behind him. So I'm fading them at the very top.
Yeah. Fair enough on Zeke. I think he's still going to get the bulk of the work, but Tony Pollard deserves to be more involved. And Zeke, the last 2 years, 605 carries those last 2 years across 31 games. And he's averaged 4.5 yards a carry behind what people deemed as like one of the best offensive lines in the entire NFL. So he's been volume-based pretty much his entire career. I mean, the people that don't want to admit to this is – you could put just about anyone behind that Dallas O-line with Zeke's last 4 years, and I don't think it would be staggeringly different. I don't. He's just a really good running back. I don't think he's not making Dallas's O-line look good. It's probably a equitable split between the two. And
Jones would have 6.5.
Just destroy. Just set all-time records. Now that dude is special. We could agree on him being a special player, but it's just, I mean, he's only averaged 5 yards a carry. And again, I know yards per attempt is not a stat that anyone is supposed to talk about. It's so taboo anymore, but it's what I'm looking at right now. And he's just 4.6 for his career. And that's 5.1 his rookie year, where he just came out of the gates on fire. He's been 4.7 or worse the 3 years thereafter. So he's just, it's the feed Zeke mentality that he gets the volume for the production. And you're right. If he sees a dip in that workload, it's going to impact him because he's not the guy that's breaking off 80-yard touchdown runs. His career long run is 60 yards, and he hasn't exceeded a 41-yard rush in his last 3 years. Like, he's not even explosive. I mean, anyone that can point me in a different direction with some cool metrics that tell how great he is, I'd be willing to see it. He's volume-based back that, yeah, if he loses 20% of that, you're right. He's now talking about a back-end RB1 instead of the RB3 overall. So I'm with you. I'm taking Alvin Kamara over Zeke if I'm in the three-hole 10 times out of 10 this year in any format, even standard. And that's probably a stretch for most people because Zeke is like the standard running back. Him and Derrick Henry get like the standard running back bump because they're guaranteed those 300 touches. Nope. I'll take Kamara over. I'll take Miles Sanders over. Be bold.
How high would you take Sanders? What's the craziest you'd go?
I'd probably a bridge too far. I probably do take Zeke over him still just because of the known. I would take Sanders at RB5. And I don't know that there's like a ridiculous argument. Like, I like Dalvin Cook and all. Dalvin Cook misses games every single year. Dalvin Cook also has better competition behind him. He's not losing touches to that competition, but better competition behind him than Miles Sanders has. Miles Sanders is just as big a threat in the passing game, if not a bigger threat than Dalvin Cook is in their offense. And then you start running down the litany of people. I'm a huge Joe Mixon stan, but until late in the year, they weren't giving him the volume that he deserved. He still doesn't see the targets that his profile indicates, and Sanders has seen it. So give me that. I'm taking Sanders over Derrick Henry in any format. I love Josh Jacobs, but probably a situation that offense, you know, and scheme, I'm still going Miles Sanders over him. And I don't think I'm, you know, Nick Chubb, Nick Chubb has Kareem Hunt there. stiffest running back two of any of these guys is what Nick Chubb has behind him. So he's going to lose work to him as well. And I pretty much checks the list of all these top end running backs. Eckler, I don't think his role is going to grow precipitously. And in any less than full PPR leagues, I'm taking Miles Sanders over Austin Eckler 10 times out of 10. And if I missed anyone, let me know. But I don't even think it's bold to say that Miles Sanders deserves to be top five, top six consideration.
I'm with you. So let's pivot over to wide receiver, unless there's anybody else you wanted to touch on there.
Nope. I think we went far enough.
There's quite a few guys in the top who I don't like. I had to go down a little bit here to find someone I like and think they're being a little underdrafted. Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 19. We've talked about him before several times with him and Metcalf there in Seattle. I just think Lockett's not getting a lot of the respect he deserves, and there's talk this year that he might not be returning as many kicks and punts as he has in years past to keep him fresh for the offensive side of the football. He's going behind Calvin Ridley and Cortland Sutton and Cooper Kupp. I just like Lockett personally. I think he's got a good rapport with Russ Wilson, and I just think that's a little too low. Do I think he's going to blast into, you know, wide receiver 8 territory? No, but 19 just seems a little low for me. I think he's going to be somewhere in that high-end wide receiver 2 range, 13, 14, 15-ish. So I just think he's a hair too low.
Yeah, and those are Seahawks blinders you're wearing, my friend. Because, well, this wasn't the first guy I was talking about. DK Metcalf is certainly someone we were going to discuss on this podcast. And at wide receiver 24, 56 overall, I just wrote, Tyler Lockett is currently wide receiver 19 at 48th overall, and those should be flipped. So I disagree with you. I think Metcalf is the one that deserves the high-end or wide receiver 2 consideration, and Lockett should be more on the flex spectrum of wide receivers at this point in time. So we will agree to disagree on that, sir. Maybe we'll put some sort of fun wager in place with which one of those gentlemen finishes the season higher in half PPR. But that we'll save that for another time. I don't hate Lockett. I don't clearly like him as much as you do. And I think, as previously stated, DK Metcalf is not a human being, and he's going to have a hard time keeping him in check. I started off pretty high, but no one I'm referencing is quote-unquote a wide receiver 1. And my guy is currently wide receiver 14, 33rd overall, DJ Moore. Said he was wide receiver 16 in this same format last year and had some guy named Kyle Allen, quote-unquote, throwing him the football. He has 113, 106 floor this season. And I don't know shit about what they intend to do in Carolina. I just know they know he's their best pass catcher. Don't come at me, Christian McCaffrey enthusiasts. I know he's a tremendous pass catcher, exclusively pass catcher in this offense. DJ Moore, I am absolutely certain, regardless of format, will be a wide receiver 1 this year. So still value beyond where he's drafted. I think he has top 5 upside with this team. And Bridgewater, I saw glimpses of what he did with Michael Thomas, and DJ Moore shares a similar fight for the ball, run after catch ability and gravitas that Michael Thomas has. So I am insanely high on DJ Moore this season.
You know, I was just on Kyle August, formerly Fantasy, the Fellas podcast, the FF Smackdown pod the other day, and we talked about DJ Moore for a while there. And my concern with him, and it's the same thing I just said a minute ago about this weird offseason, new quarterback, new OC, new head coach. I think a lot of these teams are going to have a rough time out of the gate, and I think they all really kind of shit the bed for 4 weeks until they get their legs under them. So Dynasty, you could sell me on DJ Moore all day. Love him. Think he's sky's the limit. Love the guy. This year for redraft, there's too many question marks for me. He scares me off a little bit, but I mean, I buy the talent. I don't disagree with anything you said about him, but for me, I look at him more of a dynasty player, and redraft, I'm a little spooked by everything, all the moving pieces there this year.
I have zero concerns. Teddy Bridgewater is a professional quarterback who will know where his bread is buttered, and his name is DJ Moore.
So I'm going to dip.
Oh, go. No,
I'm dipping down. I'm going way deep. Somebody I talked about when we were talking about the AFC North, Deontay Johnson, wide receiver, 43 off the board. In our bold predictions section, I said he will be a top 12 wide receiver. Interesting stat for you. Do you know what wide receiver led the NFL in yards of separation last year?
Yards of separation. Terry McLaurin.
No, it was Deontay Johnson. 3.6 yards of separation on average. That's 10 fucking yards.
Didn't matter. This guy, didn't matter much.
This guy gets open, and he played with dog shit quarterbacks. Juju was on the field for 12 games, I believe. So he performed pretty good on that team with competition, with shitty quarterbacks. I think with Ben there, and I mentioned this same thing. We talk wide receivers on Kyle's podcast. I don't care how much Ben likes Juju. If Juju's got a team's number one cornerback in his pocket and he looks to the other side of the field and Deontay Johnson is 10 yards away from a defender, he's throwing the ball to him. I just think he takes a huge step in year two. I was a big fan of his as the year progressed last year. I think he takes the step up, and Juju's going to draw more coverage away from him. He's got more opportunity. So I'm a huge fan. I think this is way too low, and I'll be grossly overdrafting him in all my redraft leagues this year.
Yeah, I'm full Juju. I think that dude's here to kick ass and take names this year, especially after the Steelers pretty much said they weren't giving him a new contract and he's going to be a free agent after the season. So he's coming for blood. I do like Deontay Johnson, but he's clear second fiddle. I went down to wide receiver 22 at 55th overall. And I just say, literally, just give me all the DJs. DJ Chark. We were in a chat earlier saying just because everyone is already on him does not make it not true. So we're still all allowed to like DJ Chark. No one's going to claim eminent domain over DJ Chark. He was wide receiver 18 in this format last year. He's being drafted as wide receiver 22. I don't know what I'm missing that we're just saying there's going to be regression from a player that's already established himself as a high end wide receiver too, that now we're just pushing him back down. I know there's certain guys we just have to get up there in the rankings, but your boy TJ or Tyler Lockett's ranked above him. No fucking way. No, thank you. You wouldn't take Tyler Lockett over DJ Chark. So
I might.
There's no argument against DJ Chark here. So I was like, let me just build my team. I was referencing earlier about like the start, like the Kamara Bell start that you could have from the four spot. Well, using all their current ADPs, all the guys I've spoken about so far, you could start a draft out of the five hole and you could land Kamara 5, Sanders 22nd overall, DJ Moore 33rd, Le'Veon Bell 45th, and DJ Chark 55th. That's all their ADPs. They all good. Fit in a spot. I said, sign me the fuck up.
Bad at all.
Give me all the guys I love right there with Le'Veon Bell as my flex and all that upside and assumed production. I just got excited. Now I'm back on. I want the fourth or fifth pick in all my 12 team leagues because this is the build I want.
So I'm going to go deeper here, and it's not a guy I necessarily love. Wide receiver 57, Robbie Anderson. So all the stuff I said about DJ Moore with no continuity there and some moving pieces, Anderson's played in this system in college. So he's going to come in and be the most, you would think, on paper. He should be the most ready to hit the ground running. I don't love him. Do I think he's going to be a top 24 wide receiver? No, but I think he outperforms that 158th overall draft spot. Absolutely. So I like him on his draft spot, and I think he's one of the few guys who can kind of hit the ground running as far as free agents and new coaching staff. So I think people are just sleeping on him. I don't think he's a wide receiver one. I don't think he's going to win you a fantasy league, but he's someone you could plug in as your flex. Or if you need some help at wide receiver, you could do a lot worse than Robbie Anderson. And he is just way too cheap in my opinion.
There's so many guys down there I like, but before we make our way down there, I already talked about DK Metcalf. So he was next on my list, but I am going on to my guy, Mike Williams, who is currently wide receiver 45 at 120. Bro, I know you hate him. Keenan Allen is wide receiver 20 at 49 overall. I said, but everything else in LA is different. So give me the 73 spot value in big Mike Williams, who in three seasons has a a 10 touchdown season to his resume and B, a 1,000 yard season to his resume. But he's being taken as wide receiver 45 overall. Things done change, John. And I think this might be Mike Williams' time to shine with those Chargers. He's going to be a wide receiver, too.
Got the chills.
Cut that in half. Wide receiver 22 in the 60s is entirely realistic. He is just free as a late wide receiver 4. Again, I know a guy I'm going to have a lot of if this ADP stays true.
I mean, I get it. I'm just have never been a fan. I'm going to go super deep here with my last two just to throw some late flyers out there. Two guys I've talked about ad nauseum at this point. Kendrick Bourne, 103rd wide receiver, undrafted in most leagues. And Isaiah Ford with the Dolphins. He's totally off the grid. Doesn't even have a number next to his name. Just two guys who I think – due to injuries and players opting out and the way this season is shaking out, they're in a spot where they can gross. I mean, Ford's undrafted, so anything outperforms his ADP. But Isaiah Ford in the slot with Fitzgerald, and then if Tua ever hits the field, which he should at some point, with a team that has Parker, who I'm still on the fence on, and in a coming off a significant injury, Preston Williams, I could see Ford half-point PPR or full PPR playing his way into a top 36 role if he gets the kind of volume we could see. I mean, Gesicki obviously may cut into that work as kind of the underneath guy, but I just love the price because it's nothing. But I think there's a lot of upside there that people don't know. And Kendrick Bourne, look, Debo's hurt. They just lost Jalen Hurd. Ayuk's a rookie. There's really nobody there at receiver. Kittle is their number one receiving option. So Bourne could finish the year leading the team and snaps at the position like he did a couple years ago. So there's nobody else. Just through attrition, he's going to move up. And he's, you know, finished mid-60s throughout his career. So he can outperform the ADP by 40 spots minimum. But I've talked about both of them before. Not a secret to you.
No. I'm gonna tie a bow on that with the second guy, but I did want to speak about Sterling Shepard at first. He's wide receiver 48 at 132 overall. I just wrote, go back and listen to the NFC's divisional breakdown for a more detailed reason why I like Sterling Shepard this year. But he was wide receiver 30 on a points per game basis for all wide receivers that played more than one game in this format last year. So yes, he missed time due to injury or concussions. It's scary as shit, but wide receiver 48 for a guy that was wide receiver 30 on points per game last year just doesn't equate to me. Another guy I'll obviously have a lot of. But then the other was the aforementioned Preston Williams at wide receiver 59 at 160 overall. I just said, he's practicing, I'm buying. I loved what Preston Williams was putting on tape last year, and I wrote P.S. Devontae Parker is currently going as wide receiver 21 at 50th overall, and check the splits of what was happening when both of those gentlemen were on the field last year. Preston Williams was eating his lunch last year. So give me free Preston Williams over wide receiver 2 Devontae Parker, even though I do like Devontae Parker. I don't like him at his wide receiver 21 price or 50th overall. Give me that Preston Williams 160 overall life.
Yeah, don't disagree. A few guys that I just don't like. We've obviously trashed Mike Evans at his ADP. I'll never trust Amari Cooper week in and week out being wide receiver 11. You just mentioned Parker. He's someone I hate and do not trust. Stephon Diggs is my big fade this year. Wide receiver 26, 62nd overall. On paper, it's a decent value, but that guy is not a good matchup for the Josh Allen trashing we gave him earlier. It's a bad matchup. AJ Green, I get the upside, but at wide receiver 28, I also know the downside, and he's already limping around camp. No thank you. And further down, Sammy Watkins, get out of here. And a weird one I saw in 85th and 86th overall, going undrafted in most leagues, but in the deeper Fantrax leagues, they're still getting taken. Chase Claypool and Andy Isabella. There is literally no one going behind them that I would not take ahead of them. Those are two guys you will not. You could be at a 100-man roster starting 13 wide receivers, and I will not have Claypool or Isabella.
Yeah, see, they have no Yahoo ranking, so I think they're lingering right now. And before I shit on a couple guys, Brandon Ayuk at 68 is going to correct itself after the unfortunate Jalen Hurd news. And then Curtis Samuel at 63, he was getting the ravest of rave reviews in camp about how he's being used. I do think he provides a unique multi-dimensional skill set that can work in that Carolina offense for a team that's going to stink and have to throw it a lot. Robbie Anderson, to me, is by far the third wide receiver I want in this offense, and you were speaking highly about him, so I just want to talk about Curtis Samuel. But yes, Mike Evans, wide receiver 8, no thank you. That one was an easy one. Odell Beckham at 9, I think he can be wide receiver 1, but I'm not taking him as wide receiver 9. There's guys after him I'm taking. Allen Robinson, who you're not as high on as I am at 10. I'm taking over Mike Evans and Odell Beckham 10 times out of 10. Those both guys are fringy wide receiver ones for me. They're just placeholdered at 8-9 because that's where people think they're supposed to be, not where they should be drafted at. I'll take DJ Moore over both of those guys without hesitation. I talked about Lockett at 19. Don't believe that he should be that high. I don't disagree with Diggs at 26, but Christ, he's a flex. I mean, that's still a fall from grace from one of the guys that I think is truly one of the most talented wide receivers in the game. So I'm not going to say fade him more than that, but he's going to be super boom busty too often. And the fact that Debo Samuel's still sitting at 32 right now, who is going to start on PUP and is likely going to miss a big chunk of this season. And I'm not trusting a wide receiver coming back off of a Jones fracture at any capacity. I'm not going to have Debo Samuel in any team, redraft league that I'm in. So it's unfortunate because I thought he had true league winning upside until that injury. But yeah, I'm not taking him as my wide receiver 3. I'm not. No, why take that risk with him as your wide receiver 3? Not me, not now, not anytime.
I get it. Well, that buttons up wide receivers. So moving over to tight end, who do I like? I'll tell you what, I was a little scared of his, where he's falling in drafts initially. And I'll never take a tight end this early, similar to quarterbacks. I'm fading the top 13, 9 times out of 10. But God damn, do I love Mark Andrews in this offense. He's third overall. I loved him coming out of college. I liked the landing spot in Baltimore, and he's looked good as he's made the transition to the NFL. So even at tight end 3, depending how the draft shakes out, boy, is he tempting at the end of the third round, 35th, 36th overall.
Listen, you know how I feel about Mark Andrews. That dude is special. And the most recent reports from The Athletic are no DB or linebacker can, quote, stay with Mark Andrews in camp. All right. He only ran around on 61% of Ravens snaps last year. 61% of snaps. To do what he did was astounding. He will play more, and they will need him to play more this year with the removal of Hayden Hurst and the assumed lack of positive game scripts. This is not a stretch of a statement, and I don't believe it's bold at all. Mark Andrews can easily be tight end 1 this year.
I agree entirely, and I'm in Dynasty, even entertaining the thought of making him my tight end 1 for Dynasty, even bumping him ahead of Kittle. I love the guy. Love him. And you obviously do too.
My concern with Kittle, and this is a total tangent, we're not going to talk about Kittle because he's so obvious, is they just paid him a boatload of money. But they also brought Jordan Reed in. And you didn't just bring Jordan Reed in to bring him in. One, there's ties with Shanahan and the Redskins. Kittle is arguably the best blocking tight end in the entire NFL. Like, prides himself on blocking.
Good at football.
There's a world where he could, yeah, he is literally the perfect tight end, but that doesn't help us fantasy players. That being that good at something just capture upside because you're not going out on as many routes. You know,
you are correct.
See a world where they want to be the run heaviest team in the NFL this year. They already want to be. You saw what they did in the playoffs. They will run it. They'll throw it 10 times in a game if it gets them a win. And that doesn't equal volume for Kittle. So there's a little concern there. I still wouldn't be as bold as you as putting Andrews at the top of the hill as Dynasty tight end 1. But boy, do I like it because I love Mark Andrews.
Yeah, and going down through this list, I mean, if anything else, we are a tight end friendly podcast. So there's lots of guys I love. As I went down the list, you know, I'm sure you're going to talk about them more. We love Janu at 17, Ebron at 19. I've talked a ton about Greg Olsen at 23 and Ian Thomas at 24. Chris Herndon, I'd love so much more at 26 if he wasn't tied to the fucking Jets and Adam Gase. But I'm going to keep going deep. Dawson Knox at 28, I think, despite playing with Josh Allen, really came on last year. He just didn't put up monster numbers in college because of the competition he had with complete studs surrounding him at wide receiver. So I think he's really undervalued. He's probably a middle of the pack tight end too, with some high end tight end two upside, and going down a few more. David Njoku at 31, who I think, you know, similar to Juju, came to the league super young, put up one tight end one season. Unfortunately, his struggle with injuries and the other series of disasters has just come with playing for the Cleveland Browns. 31 is disrespectful. I think Austin Hooper, good. I think he was a product of the system in Atlanta. I don't think Hooper sucks, but I don't think Hooper comes in, despite the money they paid him, and just sops up all the tight end targets. They're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. And Njoku, you know, wanted to trade out of there. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to be a free agent after this year. So I think he's got a lot to prove. Do I think he blows that 31 ADP out of the water? No. But do I think he outperforms it? Absolutely. And again, we're talking redraft. The upside's a little cap, but he's totally a buy for me in Dynasty because he's going to end up somewhere good next year.
Yeah, very well said, Jonathan. And I just said, PSA, do not draft a tight end in the first 8 rounds of your redraft. That's the first 96 picks. So I'm looking at guys that are 100th overall or later. And I say, yeah, then go take 2 of these following players. Mike Gesicki, tight end 13 at 124 overall. TJ Hockenson, tight end 15, 128 overall. The aforementioned and amazingly awesome Jonnu Smith, tight end 17, 141st overall. My boy Eric Ebron, tight end 19 at 168th overall. Blake Jarwin, tight end 22 at 193 overall. And Irv Smith, tight end 27 at 210 overall. Christ, I just said 210 overall for a tight end that I would draft.
Yeah.
And you will get quality starts out of him. Irv Smith, they're already talking about using him outside. I think they should, because Jefferson should live in the slot. So with Rudolph tied to the line, why not get creative with Irv Smith and put him on the outside sometime, creating mismatches? I think Irv Smith's a unique NFL player who is kind of a hybrid-y wide receiver tight end. The kid's only like 6'3", probably 240, 250. He's not your prototype tight end, so get creative with him in that offense that needs pass catchers. And the rest of these guys, they're undisputed alphas on their team, some with massive touchdown upside, in a position where that's all that you need is a touchdown for the guy to be a tight end one that week, is a touchdown. So you told me Eric Ebron in the Steelers offense with Big Ben, oh, the sky's the limit for him. It's not Andrew Luck high, but it's super high, 8 to 10 touchdowns is possible if he can stay healthy. I love Jonnu. I think Jonnu is rocket ship this year. I mean, Jonnu will be clear tight end one next year. He's going to be in the top 8 conversation, bar none, for redraft. Dynasty, who knows?
This is a Jonnu Smith podcast. Always.
So 17? You tell me I can just sit and draft and draft and draft and draft all these awesome players in 141, so we're talking, what, like the 12th round of redraft right now? I can go get me a Jonnu Smith just to plug in as my starter, a guy that I've been on record saying will have the second most targets on the team this season? Yes, thank you. Rather than going and taking a Darren Waller at – where's Darren Waller going at? 51 overall? I like Darren Waller, but they just added a ton around him as far as pass catchers. He's not going to see the volume he saw before, so you're hoping that he gets the touchdowns that he didn't get last year, when I can get Jonnu Smith at 90 picks later? 90. Yep. 9-0 picks
reaching later. Reaching to the choir, my friend.
Do not reach for these tight ends. Just don't do it. Let other people do it, and you grab the running back and wide receiver value that falls accordingly.
The other thing, too, is someone who loves to stream. Like you said, Jonnu at 141, wait a couple more rounds, get Greg Olsen at 185, and then Irv Smith at 209. You're telling me you're not going to be able to stream between the three of them a tight end one season? Bullshit. If you are just playing the matchups, you will be very happy with how that turns out.
Yes. So, again, do not reach for tight end. Do not reach for quarterbacks. This is where you find the value. Hammer running back early. Go load up on these wide receivers that are still providing value, and then just stock the cupboard with quarterbacks and tight ends on the back end of your draft.
I've got a fun stat line for you. Get your reaction on. A couple weeks ago, we were just steadily trashing Mike Evans. We're talking about, you know, Brady looking for tight ends in the red zone. I thought about this the other day while I was driving around, and I put this stat line together in my head. What is the likelihood? Give me a percentage of Cameron Brate putting up this stat line. 25 receptions, 239 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
29 receptions or 9 touchdowns.
25 receptions.
Oh, even less receptions.
Okay. 239 yards and 9 touchdowns. Just being a red zone vacuum.
Red zone vacuum. Yeah, the words were tumbling out of my mouth. I wouldn't be the slightest bit shocked, but going to take an injury to one of the top two tight ends for that to happen. Because they could go 3 tight ends. Who knows? But Gronk, OJ Howard. There's a lot of OJ Howard love going on right now. That, you know, he caught a pass from Tom Brady, and all of a sudden he's back. I still do think he's uber talented, but wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me. I mean, Cameron Brate was the one catching passes illegally from Tom Brady during this whole COVID lockdown, when I think he then ended up getting COVID, Cameron Brate, if I'm not mistaken, during that time. But still, Tom Brady somehow did not get it. I think Tom Brady has this like bubble, NFL bubble around him that protects him from any negativity or potential injury outside of an ACL.
But diet doesn't eat any nightshades. He's fine.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, the guy is flawless. He's just a human avocado. But no, that would not shock me. Two things real quick before we go. Dalvin Cook stops contract talks, but will play out the season. That means that the Vikings were doing what NFL team should do and saying, no, Dalvin Cook, we're not going to give you $15 million a year with any type of significant guarantees, because A, you're a running back, and 2, you're an injury prone running back. So, you're playing out this year. Surprising. And go get you some Alexander Mattison, people.
And the way the CBA is structured now, you can't even hold out.
That would be why he is there. And the same. Yep, you can't get all that money back like you used to be able to, and you can sit at home until an NFL team caved. The NFL wins yet again in collective bargaining and just pushes further towards being able to tell grown men whatever they want to tell them to do. So unfortunate, but a reality. And then the other piece, and it hurt me a little bit. It stung me. It knocked me on my heels. Mecole Hardman is still expected to return punts and kicks this year, which I do not want to hear, because more punt and kicks means less offensive involvement. But I get it. He's ridiculously explosive. So makes sense to keep him involved in that capacity. So maybe one more year till my Mecole Hardman breakout. But he is also currently wide receiver 50, and I will take that value all day on a cheap piece of the Chiefs offense. The cheapest piece of the Chiefs offense with any
true story.
All right. Well, that is all we have for today, Jonathan. Take us out of here.
So for myself, John DeBarry, my co-host Matt Walker, the middle of riots or something, Andrew Burke. We are the Fantasy 40. Hopefully you enjoy this little redraft primer. We got a few more things as redraft season is in full swing. Drafts are probably happening hot and heavy these next couple weekends heading into NFL kickoff, which I believe as of today is 22 days away. So season is upon us. Hopefully we get you, help you out, get you ready for some of these redrafts you have coming up. We are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
Ow! Love when you do math.
Dun, 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 dun. I think it is 22 days. I think I'm right.
It's the 10th. I don't know. You can't carry day, future state, how many days, but close enough. Exactly when I was looking for a reaction out of you. What's up? John's son. Mason from the podcast.
Hello, Daddy.
Matt.
Say hi.
You don't want to say hi? Can you say Mark Andrews, tight end 1?
No.
No.
I don't sit right here next to you.
Well, you can't, because you're the loudest human being on the face of the earth.
I like it. Take after your dad.
Hey, I've wrangled a child up here.
I love you too, buddy. Go downstairs.
Aww. Nice meeting you, man.
I love you.
I love you too, but you're too loud.
I just want to talk to you.
I want to talk to you as soon as I'm done here. What'd you spill all over your pajamas?
That's this. Oh, no. That's
awesomeness.
Oh, toothpaste? Quite a disaster. Go downstairs. I'll be down in a minute. Go. Go. Close. You are the only person in the world who can't be quiet under any circumstance. Go with Grammy.
I don't want to go downstairs.
You could stay up here. Be quiet, though.
The capstone moment of the episode where I wanted to Mark Andrews' reaction. And then you can't even get your kid to say he'll be tight end one. Kind of a father, are you?
What was the last thing you said about Andrews? I mean, I caught most of it.
It's not a stretch to say that he could finish as the tight end one overall in fantasy this year.
Okay.
Not a stretch. I mean, he's not going to see the volume of a Kelce or Kittle, but
all right,
he has the touchdown upside.
And I will jump in there.
De jure. Oh, I'm keeping all this in.
Well, nobody wants to hear this. We're live.
I like what we just did. None of what we just discussed had any business being anywhere near on the air, and I'll have far less to cut and try and figure out on the back. So this is probably a good way to do business later.
For professionals. It would be like me telling you about good and bad tennis players. Like,
I think they're all good. That's what I've gleaned. There's not a lot of tennis players, so by and large.
Pros, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else sucks.
I can't fucking get the thing over the net, let alone at 107 miles an hour.
I'm a very good volleyer. I'm a terrible server. That's
terrible at the whole thing.
Can't get in the box, John. But you get me moving. Whew. Regular Novak Djokovic in the volley game. Rafael Nadal, one might say, in my prime.
Welcome to another episode of Tennis Talk. There's got to be tennis podcasts, right?
There shouldn't be.
Podcasts for everything.
There is a podcast for everything. Yeah, as we were discussing earlier on. Yeah, there literally is place for everything, whether anyone listens or not. I mean, who knows? But
I mean, you're not getting Joe Rogan numbers for tennis, but probably a diehard group.
We should be getting Joe Rogan numbers.
Listen, preaching.
Hey, Joe Rogan, why don't you come on to our podcast? It's a little Joe Rogan experience bump.
Yeah. No reason we can't be there. Never had a fantasy football host on before.
Deserve better.